Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
A lot of ways to listen to the show and all of our great shows here on The Fan. However you do it, thanks so much. Welcome back. Back to Camp series continues. As last week, we were talking with the four Metro High School football coaches to get it started, and we have made our way outside the Metro this week. And starting yesterday, as we had Colby Yoder, Don Bosco, head football coach, on the show. And I'm drawing a blank right now, David. Who the hell else did we have on the show yesterday?
It was Gladbrook Rhinebeck head coach.
My guy, John Olson. How could I forget about John? My apologies, John. Please forgive me. And right now, we're sticking with the eight-player flavor right now as Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman joins a Tuesday edition of the show. Coach Eastman, how you doing today? Thanks for being here.
Doing pretty well today. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward to learning more about your Wildcats. You're coming off of a 7-1 record last season, and then a first-round exit in the eight-player playoffs to a really good Newell Fonda team. So, you know, looking back on the season, what did you and your staff and your players take away that you're applying toward this season?
Well, you know, we did have a great season last year, 7-1, nothing to hang your head about. You know, obviously drew a tough round matchup with Newell. I think they ended up bowing out in the quarterfinals to the eventual state champ, but you know, we lose a lot. We graduate nine seniors that contributed a lot to the program. A few guys, more than a handful, were probably three-year starters. So we're learning a lot as we go. You know, we play a week zero game, so we're going to practice here tonight in about 45 minutes. So this is our week two already, where everybody else, a lot of people kicked off yesterday. We're already a week and 2 days in.
What can you tell us, Coach Eastman, about what goes in logistically to scheduling a week zero game? Because I think, you know, it's a nice novelty, whether it's college football or high school football, just to get it a week earlier than the majority of teams. But can you take us maybe behind the scenes a little bit on what all goes into that?
It's a nightmare. It's really a nightmare. You know, last week was supposed to be camp week. We had prepped for camp week all summer long that we were going to have camp Monday through Thursday last week, have our golf outing on Friday. And then we found out that our first week opponent wasn't going to have football. And luckily for us, GMG reached out to us, and we were able to make it work after the state approved it. So they were supposed to play Meskwaki week three. So now we're both playing week zero. But now instead of running camp, last week, and the week before that was a dead week, so we weren't allowed contact with the players. So then we just started right into practice last Monday, got after it. The worst part so far that we've had going on, I didn't get football helmets until yesterday.
No.
Because they hadn't come back from being reconditioned yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really kind of like in our day two also, but it's really our eighth day of practice. So second day of helmets today. And we just keep going forward. You know, we're lucky that we were able to get this week zero game. You know, when the state downsized your season from 9 to 8, you hate to lose another game just in case you don't make the playoffs. You know what I mean? So grateful for GMG wanting to play week zero. I'm sure they're scrambling just like we are. But, hey, it's all for the kids, and that's what we're about.
Hey, I feel like I need to send a care package. I got one of those stress balls here in the studio. I could loan it to you if you'd like.
You know, that's funny because I went down to my football office on Sunday afternoon and my stress ball had somehow exploded.
No,
and inside that thing is like some of the most stickiest goo you've ever experienced in your life. And like, yeah, it ruined a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm just like, how is this happening? But yeah, so. Good times.
We'll get you hooked up, Coach. You're obviously in need of one. Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's back up, maybe talk about something before the stress of a week zero game hit, and that would be summer lifting, summer conditioning. Coaches talk all the time, rightfully so, about how important that segment of the calendar is for building a good football team. So what can you say about your program and then the participation in it?
You know, we started a program with Kilo Fit out of Cedar Falls last fall. And so Jacob Clark comes in 3 days a week, and he's done an outstanding job with speed and agilities and getting the kids into lifts and teaching them properly and getting things going that way. So, you know, we had a really good summer. Numbers could always be better. You know, you have vacations and you have this and that and other things, people working. But, you know, for a majority, you know, we average probably about 60% of the team all the time. We always had those guys in here. Always want more, but you take what you can get on any given day to help make your football team better. So looking forward to seeing what they've done. You know, you can tell in just like some of the sprinting and stuff last week when we were getting stuff ready that the boys are benefiting from a year with the strength coach, and hopefully it continues as the younger kids now are getting involved into it.
That's great to hear. When it comes to preseason camp, what stuck out so far about this team?
What really jumps out at us is that we play 8-player, and we only have 7 juniors and seniors combined. Ooh. So we're going to be pretty young. We're going to count heavily on a sophomore class to step up and play. Mm-hmm. And even of those 7 kids that are upperclassmen, you know, really only one comes back with a whole lot of experience as far as the starter roles are concerned. We have a couple other kids who played quite a bit last year, but only one really starter is back. So definitely going to be an inexperienced ball club, and we're going to see how it goes.
With that in mind, Coach Eastman, what can you say with regard to, okay, we've got a lot of new faces and new places, and you know, we've kind of established how we like to go about our business on offense and defense, but with so many new guys and young guys, do you maybe have to be a little bit more flexible in terms of, you know, what schemes and concepts you put them in so you can, you know, make sure that, you know, every Friday night they got their best chance to get a W?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think some of it does determine, you know, maybe our playbook on offense is a little bit smaller. You know, we're just going to run the plays that we're really, really confident in. You know, you're not going to throw certain stuff at them until you have it ready in practice to rep on a Friday night. You know, the goal is to never put a kid out there in a place to fail. So us as a coaching staff, if that means we can only run 4 plays, I guess that means we're only going to be able to run 4 plays. But then that comes back to us as a coaching staff in prepping them, getting them ready. You know, we start June 1st with some 5-on-5 stuff. We went to a camp at Central where we were able to do some offensive install and stuff like that. So we are moving along well. You know, the offensive line is always one of the hardest things to get gelled together. They're starting to come together. Our quarterback, Keegan Eastman, is back. He started the last 4 games last year after Dodd broke his foot. Mm-hmm. So we do have an experienced quarterback coming back. So that's nice. He knows the offense. He was starting it wide receiver before Dodd went down. So Keegan knows our offense, you know, as well as our offensive coordinator. So no worry about that aspect of it. Maybe you worry a little bit about him making the right read at the right time. Mm-hmm. But, hey, he's also 17 years old, and he's got guys breathing down his neck. So.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the defense, you know, as you've touched on here, graduated so much. 7 of your top 8 tacklers, to be specific. I mean, what's it like? You talked about the offense and the quarterback spot and everything, but, I mean, what you guys are in the bunker every night trying to figure defense out, aren't you?
You got that right. You're in a bunker every night trying to figure out defense and 8-man anyway. Yeah. Now you lose 7 of your top 8 tacklers. That makes everything a whirlwind. You know, the goal is just to make sure you're getting hats to the ball. You know, we do a lot of pursuit drill type things, making sure that the guys understand that, you know, he can't outrun all 8 of us. If we take the right angles, if we wrap up, if we, you know, tackle hard, play good, hard, aggressive wildcat football, and we're going to be just fine. Are we going to miss tackles? Sure. Are they going to throw over the top? Sure. things are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. How do we bounce back from that on the next play? You know, on the kickoff, do we just lay down and let them recover it, or do we do something about it? You know, there's little things that we can do to tweak the mistakes that are going to happen mm-hmm. by kids that who haven't had the opportunity to play on Friday nights. You know, we have a lot returning. Our sophomore class has 11 kids in it. You know, that's the big class. We have, you know, seven juniors and seniors, 11 sophomores, and 5 freshmen. So, you know, those 11 sophomores are going to weigh heavy on there. They're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so are the juniors and seniors. But it's all about minimizing the mistakes, setting them up, and putting them in a good place so that we can have confidence on Friday night to come away with a W.
You know, Coach, you touched on there about, you know, keys to playing defense in 8-player football and also just how difficult it is. And, you know, what was that, 2020 that we had the Montezuma game in the Dome where it was like 104-90 and
right,
900
right.
yards of offense. It sure seems to me, from having watched it pretty close now for the last 3-4 years, that 8-player football, it's evolving, it's growing, it's becoming a higher-level product in terms of what it means to the game of football. Would you agree with all that? Because it sure seems to me like there's really something to have witnessed in the 8-player game over its body of work in the last, you know, maybe half decade or so.
Yeah, I for sure agree with that. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times there were a lot of towns that were like, oh, no, we can't play 8-man football or 8-player football. We're an 11-player school, you know, like we've got tradition. Whereas now they've realized that some of those schools aren't able to compete as well as they used to be because, you know, Class A or whatever still has really good football. And, you know, 8-player was looked down upon in the fact that it's not real football. Well, you know what? We still put our pants on and our shoulder pads and helmets just like everybody else does.
Yeah.
I think it's helped that we've had some kids that have gone on to big things. Spencer Brown from Lenox, Iowa, played
exactly.
8-player football.
Yep.
You know, he's Buffalo Bill now. Nate Meyer started at defensive end for the Iowa Hawkeyes a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Greenway, I believe, played 8-player or 9-player football in South Dakota. So there's some guys now that have done a lot of good things that have played 8-player football. So just because you're from small town Iowa or South Dakota or something like that doesn't mean you can't make big strides.
Finally, Coach, I've been asking everybody this since we began our Back to Camp series on the show leading up to the start of the high school football season here. Are you the type of coach where you come up with a motto before, like, summer workouts or maybe fall camp? Or are you the type of coach where it's like, all right, I'll make a big speech at the start of camp and then let's just go play ball?
Yeah, I'm just let's make a big speech and let's go play football. You know, we did kind of adopt, you know, Fridays are for the Wildcats this year. Put that on our shirts this year. I think my first hashtag or my first tweet about football season last week, I did hashtag Fridays are for the Wildcats. So that kind of is the motto this year. But right now it's Tuesday, and so Tuesday night is for the Wildcats because we have 3 hours of practice to make ourselves a better football team. So that's what I'm looking forward to tonight, and hopefully I have 23 guys out here ready to go just like I am.
Well, what's your handle on Twitter? I got to make sure. It looks like we're following you.
I'm pretty sure I'm following you. You're following me.
All right, great. I wanted to make sure that we got our T's crossed and I's dotted on that.
That's right, at VilleFBHC for all of those listening that want to follow.
All right, let's get Coach Eastman some followers, people, all right? At VilleFBHC, okay? Some good content on here, Coach. You got a pretty strong Twitter game.
Yeah, thanks. I do my best. I follow a lot of good, knowledgeable people, and I just do a lot of retweeting.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, okay?
That's right.
Coach, thanks so much. It's a pleasure catching up with you, and I'll make sure and get a stress ball in the mail, okay?
All right. Thanks, Cole. Thanks for having us on today. It's always great to talk Wildcat football with you guys and get out there in the Cedar Valley. Go Cats.
Absolutely. Likewise. Take care, Coach.
Thanks.
Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company.